Good morning, Colorado. Here we go. Y'all ready for this? The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. Our law firm is Bell and Pollock. We are injury attorneys in our day lives, but right here on this show, we're here for you to answer your questions on any legal subject, any legal questions. 303-713-8255. 713-8255. Brad and I are doing a series of radio shows that's going to, they're going to air tomorrow morning and in the mountains. We're doing ABCs, back to the basics, the ABCs of how insurance companies try to defeat your injury claim and beat your injury claim. And you would be amazed at some of the things that happen behind the scenes. You would be amazed. Just listen to the shows. They air tomorrow morning. We're about in the middle of that series. But if you missed one, you can go to our website, championsofthepeople.com, and you can also listen to any of our podcasts, and you can get the podcast of this show if you want. And if you have any questions, just call us. Or go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. Our free books are there, and you can get a free book as well. You can get an e-book, or you can get a hard copy if you just ask us for it. Also, we have accident assistance packages that go into your car. Today, we're talking about what if you don't have health insurance? What if you're injured? How do you get medical treatment? Can you get medical treatment? Is it quality care? What do you do? Because don't give up. That's what the insurance companies want you to do. So, Brad, let's hit that just a little bit. I mean, people come to see us. They have no health insurance. They don't have any way to get this medical treatment done, but there's a way to solve the problem.
There is. There's ways to get medical treatment through a lien basis against the right to recover under your case. We have different groups and different entities that will advance the amount. You're going to still owe the money, but what they're going to do is they're going to advance the medical care, and then they're going to help you be able to get yourself some type of medical care that's going to be able to get you back on the road to recovery, and is going to allow you to get consistent medical care. I can't stress enough the need for MedPay on your policy, especially if you don't have medical care. You need to do MedPay. But Gary, we got quite a few calls. You want to go right to the call?
Right, let's rock and roll this morning.
Okay, first we're going to go to Martin. Martin, how you doing, bud?
Oh, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
This kind of goes along with your topic. What about self-help where a person is injured and enduring pain? There's certain avenues that they can go to, like free seminars on pain management some of the community centers hold. Is that beneficial to a person in terms of their case, in terms of damages?
I think so, yes. I think that pain management is a very important part of dealing with the pain you've got. You have a responsibility to mitigate damages and try and make yourself better, and you should be trying to make yourself better. This isn't a situation.
And that goes under the mitigation topic?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it does. And I think it's a matter of getting to wherever you can get to try to take care of yourself and try and make yourself better. Gary, that's exactly what we talk about, isn't it, when we talk about trying to get people to doctors even when there's no health insurance.
Right, and if you listen to our show, the series on ABCs of how insurance companies try to beat and defeat your claim, that's one way they do it. That's a big way they do it, because you're injured and you think, I don't have any health insurance, I have no way to get any treatment, so I don't know what to do. Well, you need to do something, because eventually the insurance company and their lawyers are going to say, you didn't treat, you must not be hurt, maybe you went to the emergency room, maybe you went to urgent care, but maybe you went to the doctor one time, but you never went back. Maybe you went to the chiropractor, but you never went back, and therefore we're not going to pay you. And if you don't like it, just see if you can beat us. And that's exactly what we're talking about, and that's exactly what we cover in our radio shows.
So I think it's the best thing. And if there's self-help, or if there's pain clinics to help you understand how to work through your pain and how to function with your pain, more power to it. Let's get people to it and see if we can't help them.
In other words, you just can't get an accent, and even though it's not your fault, and then just sit back in a chair and just wait for the check to come in.
That's exactly right. You can't. It's the wrong thing to do anyway. I mean, you're just wasting away. Get out there and do stuff. Try and make yourself better.
That's why all those commercials
infer. what do you mean? Call you over the weekend and have a lot of money by Monday morning?
Well, that's the inference I'm getting through a lot of TV commercials.
I got to tell you, you need to listen to this, because when people get injured and they don't go to the doctor, and they need to go to the doctor, you can't make this stuff up, but if you need to go to the doctor and you don't, so you don't treat, and so you think you're going to do something about it later, well, I tell you what, you might get really, really mad in 4 months, 6 months, 3 months, a year. These symptoms haven't gone away. these symptoms are impairing you. And then you go to a personal injury attorney, and then the insurance company says, I don't care if you're injured or not. I don't care. You didn't go. You didn't treat.
So it's not going to do you any good just to think that you can sit back and cheat. I mean, the implication that it's easy money or you're going to get it fast, those implications aren't correct, and they shouldn't.
That's what I'm getting from these commercials. It's like free money. I was injured, and I was in a fault, so where's my check?
Yeah, and that's too bad. That's something that shouldn't be done. I think that leaving people with that idea is the wrong idea. I think that we need to be more cognizant of the fact that you're entitled to what's fair to compensate you, and we're going to get you the most in our firm that we believe you can possibly get. But it's not fast, it's not easy, and you have a responsibility to make yourself better. Martin, thank you.
Well, thank you, guys.
Okay. Thanks for listening to the Bell and Paul Legal Show. We're going to stay right with the phones. We got Mike from Boulder, who's got a question about injured at work. Then we got JR and Jeremy. Mike, what do you got going, bud? Hello, Mike.
It's not fast, it's not easy, and you have a responsibility.
Mike, are you there? Hello, Mike? Mike.
I don't think he's there, Brad.
Hello, Mike. I'm going to put him on hold, and we're going to go to JR about Ceiling Records. JR, how you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning. What can we do for you, bud?
Yeah, what is the difference between the sealing criminal records and expunging criminal records, and what's the procedure to get that done?
Okay, when you seal a criminal record, you're going to make it so there's not access to the outside public, and only certain records, and there are certain records that can't be sealed and some that can. Expunging is taking it completely off your record. Expunging is a much, much more difficult thing to do, especially if there's been a crime committed, or if you've pled guilty, or if you've had some kind of a disposition of the case. Sealing is a different thing. It gives you a chance to get it off your record, or to make it so the public doesn't have access to it. Law enforcement usually will have access to it. Okay.
Now, does that show on like getting a gun or a pistol or something? They do the criminal background checks on a sealing record.
A sealing record, normally the record is still accessible to law enforcement and to those type of people who are checking a background record to see if you should get a gun. That's law enforcement is going to have access to what's been sealed, especially if it's crime that would affect your ability to get a gun. So yeah, but there are certain things you can get sealed. And it's not a bad idea if you've had a situation where you've had a crime, or where you've had a misdemeanor, or you've had a problem, that you might want to seal it.
I think what bothers a lot of people is sometimes if they're even arrested or charged and the charges are dropped, it's still part of your record. Number one, that bothers people. But number two, the courts, the ones I know about, are very, very careful when they're asked to expunge or seal records. A lot of questions. What was the charge? What was the crime? If it's a violent crime, probably not going to get it done. If it's a smaller crime, may be headed down the road where the judge might let it be done. But are you known by any other name? What's your background? What are you doing right now? Are you working, etc.? So that's what you've got to look at.
Hey, JR, can you stick with us over the break, and we'll get to on how to do it, or do you want to just listen?
Yes, I'll stick with
it. Stick with us. You're listening to the Bell and Paul Legal Show. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Shop Kohl's Friday through Sunday and get tax break savings with an extra 10% off, plus an extra $10 off your purchase of $25 or more. And everyone gets $10 Kohl's cash for every $50 spent. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
When you're opening a new office location, but deadlines don't let up, you need to make sure your team can start working fast, which means all of a sudden, you're looking to buy new conference tables, chairs, laptops, and whiteboards quickly. Business cards from American Express Open can give you buying power to help cover the big purchases you need to make when you need to make them. Find out how American Express cards and services can help prepare you for growth at open.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollack, we are injury attorneys in our day lives, but right here, right now, we're here for you, 303-713-8255. And right before the break, we were talking to JR about sealing records.
Yeah, JR, and there's a difference between sealing an arrest record and a conviction. So, you know, I guess one of my questions would be to you, are you interested in the arrest record, or are you where the case was dismissed, or were you acquitted, or is it a criminal conviction?
No, a domestic violence conviction, misdemeanor.
Okay.
Interesting, try to legally purchase a gun.
Yeah, right. Well, and on domestic violence convictions, now we're talking about a different thing. Usually misdemeanor infractions, you can talk about getting them sealed, and you can file an appropriate petition with the court. If you need help with that, I'd be happy to have someone from our office call you and tell you what you can do. In order to even begin to get a weapon after you've had a domestic violence conviction, you have to have served out the entire probationary period and the entire period on the domestic violence conviction.
Yeah, it's happened about 6-7 years ago. Everything was served out, probation, et cetera.
I think we can help you on that. Do you want?
Well, you know, that's a lot of things. What judges look at the length of time, what the charges were, how quote aggravated or unaggravated, if that's a word. What it was. But procedurally, what you have to do is file a petition with the court in the county where the conviction occurred, and then I'll guarantee you that you should not go that step alone. A criminal defense attorney can make all the difference in the world talking to the court, laying out the case, laying out the facts as to why this should go away. And then a lot of people don't know that when you file this petition, it gets sent to all the administrative agencies that are involved with your particular situation, and they get the right to object. And so it can be quite a process, but it can be done.
Right. And when they get the right to object, when it goes to, for instance, the DA's office, they may very well contact the victim and ask the victim what they feel about it. So it's a process, but it's a process worth going through. I believe it's a process that's a good process. It gives a person a chance to start over and to get that off their record. So
it's not off the record, it's just sealed.
It seals it. It'll get... Right, it'll seal it. It gives a chance so that it's not there. It's not something that the general public can look up, which I think is better for you.
So if it can get sealed, as you're saying, then a person can purchase a gun legally.
Well, you may very well be able to. I'd want to talk to you more about what your domestic violence charge was and what the conviction was, and I really don't want to do that on the air.
Right, okay.
You want to go on hold and we'll have somebody call you this week?
I'll be gone, but I can call your office and reference this call, okay?
Okay, call our law firm and make sure you talk to one of us, because I want to go more into the details of what you got.
Okay,
and one more thing, Brad, before he goes. You know, I think what happens a lot, I've seen it, is you're up there 6 or 7 years later, you had a domestic violence and against your, let's say, ex-wife, ex-spouse, and what sways a lot of judges and courts, or is very important for them, is when the ex-spouse is there at the hearing. And they say to the court, I don't have any objection. Everybody's contacted me. Everything is good, et cetera, et cetera. So that's a big factor.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Look forward to talking to you. You're listening to the Bell and Pollack Legal Show. I'm going to try Mike again. Mike, are you there now?
Oh, yeah. It's Mark, actually.
Mark, I'm sorry. Yeah. What's going on, Mark?
I have a quick question. I was injured on the job. I was dismounting a piece of equipment. And I slipped and fell off the equipment and injured my shoulder and elbow. I went to the workman's comp doctor and all of this, had the x-rays done and everything, and I'm healing well. However, now that the safety manager is trying very hard to get me to sign a letter basically stating that I violated company policy by stepping on a greasy step, which is not in company policy. However, the three-point rule is in company policy, and I was using the three-point rule, you know, which means a hand and 2 feet, or 2 hands and 1 feet, you know, that rule. And so he's like coercing, trying to force me to sign this letter. I'm not obligated to sign. That wouldn't be a violation of you know, it's basically admission of guilt.
Well, you certainly don't sign anything that's not true. period.
Okay.
I mean,
right.
You know, and the other thing is to...
And even if it were true.
Right. Even if it were true, you know, that's something that I think would be going through, you should be going through the doctor, I mean, through the attorney with. Do you have representation in this matter?
Do I have what?
Do you have a lawyer?
No, I do not.
Okay. So, you know, this is something you'd want to deal with a lawyer on, because what happens if you violate a safety rule, then that's going to adversely affect and it's going to diminish the amount that you're entitled to under work comp. And to get a statement from you to that effect is something that I really don't think the is appropriate for them to be asking you to sign a document to that effect.
Yeah. This happened at a previous employer like 20 years ago. They you know, demanded I sign something, and I refused to sign it. And they really came down on me. And it seemed like, hey, wait a minute. This is like almost a violation of my Fifth Amendment rights.
Well, yeah. But it's a civil case rather than a criminal. But,
right, exactly.
But you're 100% right. The minute somebody, when you're involved in something like that, a work comp claim, and your employer comes to you and wants you to start signing documents, the answer should be, you know, I'll sign those after I've talked to an attorney, and then get a work comp attorney.
Well, the other thing is that, Mark, you don't probably have to sign the document, just like you talking about 20 years ago. But Brad's absolutely right. Once you violate a safety rule, or they can prove you did, and they're trying to prove it through your own admission by making you sign this, then they can reduce, mitigate, or whack your compensation under the workers' comp situation. So that's very important. But I think you're really in need of our book. We've written a book on workers' compensation, the definitive guideline in Colorado. And, you know, Brad can put you on hold, but we can also send it to you, or we can help you any way you like.
Okay, one quick addition to that. Now, if I were to had signed it, can they refuse to pay my medical bills in the insurance company?
I think the insurance company will start by refusing to pay your medical bills. It's like I said, normally it's a 50% reduction is what I... is off the top of my head is what I remember. A violation can be up to a 50% reduction. But I think to begin with, if they say you violated a safety rule and that resulted in your injuries, at that point, they're going to start saying they don't want to pay your medical bills. They're going to say they want to pay less than the full amount of your medical bills. They're going to make it miserable for you. And
right. Well,
go ahead, Gary.
There's a couple of other things I want to add in here, because I don't know where your workers' comp case is pending, but if they filed a general admission of liability, a GA, in other words, you filed a workers' comp and they said, okay, you were, quote, injured on the job, we're not going to fight that, that's one thing that you've got a lot of hurdles you've already crossed. Most of these companies, they decide at the beginning they're going to fight it because you either weren't injured on the job or you were engaged in a violation of a rule, so they're going to fight it. You have a hearing in front of the workers' comp judge, and the judge decides if you're going to get reduced or mitigated.
Are you there?
Yes. I don't know about Mark.
I think we lost Mark.
I think we did.
Hello, Mark. Okay, Mark, give a call back. Tell Kevin your name and number. We'll call you this week or call our office, and we'll talk to you about what's happening and try and give you more information. In the meantime, we're going to go to Jeremy in Brighton. Jeremy, you got a question about custody?
Yes, sir.
What can we do for you?
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, and 12 years ago, I had a domestic violence, and which resulted in a custody case. And 4 years later, a couple thousand dollars, two lawyers later, I got split custody of my daughter, and I was allowed to see her again. And now, fast forward, I'm 32 years old, and about 4.5 months ago, I found out through police contact that I still had a restraining order in place against my daughter and my ex. And I'm a little baffled by that because I've been seeing them and she's never said anything. And I called her and she said, well, I don't know that I still had that going. I thought that was all lifted. I thought that was all done. Well, I called Arapahoe County, and they sent me over to some special investigator. I've left numerous messages for the special investigator. I've never gotten a call back. And I'm trying to get the ball rolling on my own in lieu of spending another couple thousand dollars on a lawyer to get this done. And I'm just curious as to how something like this just slipped through the cracks, and now everyone's pointing their finger at everybody else.
I have no idea how it was missed by your representation. I'm not going to try to make comment other than I have no idea how it gets missed. Anybody and everybody listening out there, if a restraining order gets issued, the only way you stop the restraining order or the no contact order is you must have the judge vacate the order, period, end of statement. It can go on forever. If you're found with around the people against whom you have the restraining order and you're not supposed to be around them, you can go to jail. So, yes. Jeremy, here's what's going to happen. And Gary, I don't know how you feel, but my advice to you is the first thing is don't call anybody again right now, because I don't want you making an admission that you violated a restraining order or a no contact order to a public official or to somebody. You have certain constitutional rights where you don't have to make that admission. Second thing is I want to take your name and number and get a call to you so we can sit down and talk and get you the forms. We're not going to have you spend a lot of money. We want to get you the forms that you can fill out to go to the court to vacate that restraining order. Okay, to get it vacated. And if we need to, at the same time, act as a third-party conduit for you to contact your ex-wife to have her give the necessary information to say she stipulates to it, she agrees to it, and that's okay to have the restraining order or the no-contact order lifted, then we do that. But in the meantime, you're at risk. That's all I can tell you.
Okay. I mean, she literally was living with me from the age of 3 and a half on up until here recently, until I moved out way far north of Brighton. And, you know, it just wasn't something that she wanted to do. And I don't know.
As I say many times, Jeremy, put yourself in the position of the judge right now. You've been hauled in front of the court. And what's your explanation? My explanation, judge, is I filed an immediate motion to stop this. Okay. She's been living with me. There's no problem. Here's my ex-wife's stipulation and permission. And that's the best you've got to go. But you got to move on this, buddy. You got to move.
Okay. Jeremy, hold, and let's get your name and number. We'll call you this week.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Okay, we still have calls left. We got Anthony, a work comp case in Colorado Springs. You're listening to the Bell and Polk Legal Show. We'll be right back.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. And don't forget, during this show, you can go to our website, championsofthepeople.com, if you want to submit a written question to us. This is really easy. Just go to championsofthepeople.com, click on live Q&A. Send us a written question, because sometimes people don't want to air it over the air. We'll answer the question, and you can remain anonymous. Brad, we got Eric coming up, right?
Eric, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Good. What's going on, bud?
Good. Well, I got a couple specials to run by you guys for the week. Our breakfast special for the week, and actually next week, is going to be the breakfast quesadilla. Now, that's 2 6-inch flour tortillas. We're going to load that up with some shredded cheese, a couple of scrambled eggs. You get your choice of ham, bacon, or sausage in that. We're also offering a substitute for chorizo. You can add that to that as well if you want. That does come with lettuce, tomato, guacamole, and sour cream. And our lunch special is going to be a blue cheese burger. That's a 6-ounce burger. We're going to cook it to the temperature of your liking. We're going to top that off with melted blue cheese crumbles. We're going to add homemade chips or fries for $1 to that if you'd like. That's going to be the lunch special all week long and next week. And, by the way, we're adding the breakfast special to the menu. So after this, you'll be able to get it anytime you want. And then don't forget, on Mondays and Fridays from 11 to 2, it's all-you-can-eat taco and burrito buffet. It's all-you-can-eat. It's on Monday and Fridays from 11 to 2. It's only $7.99. That includes a non-alcoholic beverage in the price. And, Gary, thank you so much for canceling winter, because the weather is beautiful. The umbrellas are up and the bottomless mimosas are out. They're only $10. So thank you so much for that. We got all kinds of things going on. We got the flat screens on. Watch your favorite games. Big games coming up. So come on down to Caitlin's and have a good time with us. We wait for to see you.
It sounds great, Eric. You said your deck's open. No problems.
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely. You can bring your dog, bring your kids, hang out, relax. The weather's beautiful.
And Eric, give me an idea. What kind of pancakes you got down there?
We got all kinds of pancakes. These are scratch-made buttermilk pancakes. We have chocolate chip pancakes. We have cheesecake pancakes. We have strawberry shortcake pancakes. We do a bananas Foster's pancake. That one is out of this world. Again, all scratch-made. Can't beat it. Best cakes in town. I guarantee it.
They really are. You don't even need syrup for those things.
Absolutely. No, you don't. A lot of people don't even get butter or syrup with them. They don't.
they're fantastic. Eric, where are you located?
We're at 4379 East Mississippi Avenue. Now, that's one block east of Colorado Boulevard, and that's in the Glendale Shopping Center.
Now, and for the people who want to catch an early football game, you got the TVs on?
Absolutely. College is on. Screens are up. Ready to go.
Sounds good, buddy. See you later. Thanks. Take care. Thank you. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. You can contact us at 303-713-8255. That's 303-713-8255. And at 970-457-1009 in Steamboat, 970-457-1009. Gary, getting back on that question that you had about what do you do when you have no health insurance and you've been hurt in an accident?
I tell you what, one thing you don't do is just suck it up and don't go to the medical treatment. But then you might say, well, I can't. I don't have any money. I don't have any health insurance. Or my health insurance has a very high deductible. I just can't do it. There's ways to solve this problem. What you don't do is do nothing. What you do is go see a personal injury attorney, because most of these lien companies, they won't just deal with you directly. And if you're in an accident or something like that, they will deal with you and your attorney. Because at the end of the rainbow, they want to get paid back when you've got fair compensation for your claim. But this is just one part that we teach you about in our series of the ABCs of how insurance companies try to defeat and beat your claim. You can listen to our podcast. If you've got a question right now, you can go to championsofthepeople.com and click on live Q&A and send us that. But Brad and I have been doing a whole series. Some of the things we say have really prompted a lot of questions to our law firm and to us about how these insurance companies try to do it. And what you don't understand is they try to beat you right now before you've even been in an accident. What you don't understand is they do property searches on you. They put you under surveillance. This all sounds terrifying, but all this can be handled, but it has to be handled in the right way. Also, they have computer programs that, quote, value, end quote, your injury claim. They don't do it. They have injury programs. One of them is called Colossus. And they send you letters. The other thing, Brad, we talk many times, what are you going to do when you have the first contact with the insurance adjuster? Either you call them or they call you. The person, the at-fault party's insurance company, they injured you, they hurt you. And, you're talking about your property damage during their car, and you want to get your car fixed. And they say, well, how did you get hurt? Did you injure your neck? Did you have any pre-existing neck conditions? Did you treat on the neck? What do these questions, what are they about?
Yeah, you always want to know why they're asking the questions, what it's about, and get a clear understanding of what they're doing with the answers and the information and what the information they're going to get from you. We've got Ken right now on the line. Gary, he has questions about domestic issue. Ken, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. What can we do for you?
Well, my actual case is in Missouri.
Okay.
And I'm a truck driver. And then on the 22nd of last month, I was assaulted in my home for the third time by an abusive girlfriend that is an alcoholic.
Okay.
And at the time she was arrested, and for 30 minutes she held me captive in my car with her arm across my throat while we were on the phone with 911. The 911 operator, asked her several times to let me up, to begged and pleaded with her. She kept telling me to hang up the phone, and she's being real abusive over the phone to the 911. Well, they arrested her, and I guess she had taken a bunch of pills, so they took her to the hospital first. Then they went to jail. Well, the county attorney did a protection order against her in my behalf, and I'm a truck driver, so I had to go on the road. But, while I was gone, she got out of jail that following Monday and went to the civil judge and filed a restraining order against me, just a ridiculous restraining order. Didn't inform him that she already had a protection order ordered by the county, and immediately went to my home and took all my belongings from my home.
Wow. Well, you,
and,
what a and, story.
And they, and the sheriff's department, and let me give you a little background here. The place that I lease there in town is owned by the mayor's mother, and the girl that I was dating is the mayor's sister-in-law.
Okay.
And I feel because of that, the sheriff's department's not real keen on doing anything, because they all grew up together, and and went to school together and everything else. Well, so now I feel like I'm being victimized by the sheriff's department, because when I got home on that Tuesday and realized all my stuff was gone, I called the sheriff out to do a report. And, I mean, just blatantly can tell. I mean, she even broke a window out to try to make it look like a burglary, but locked both of the deadbolt and the knob lock, which you can only lock the deadbolt with a key.
But Ken, let me ask you a couple of questions, Ken.
Okay.
Was this lady your I didn't hear this part. Was she your former spouse or girlfriend?
Just girlfriend.
Were you married?
Yeah, and she.
Oh, and okay. So she has no. There's no possessory interest in your property. So
no,
to me, that's
no,
just outright.
Never, and she's never. I mean, she's never worked the whole time we've been together. We've lived together probably 4 or 5 months, and her real alcoholism didn't come to light until about 2 months after we, you know, started living together.
Right.
And
but Ken, let me give you a clue here. This order of protection, I mean, this restraining order that she got against you, there's two steps to it. Number one, you get a temporary restraining order and you get served with it.
Right.
And then the second thing is, the next hearing is to make it permanent. Almost
yeah,
any
right.
judge, if the facts are correct, will issue a temporary restraining order. But what's key is you cannot let it become permanent.
Do you have a hearing date?
Right. Yeah, we got a hearing date on Tuesday. But here's the problem, though, is that she had already had a protection order on Sunday that was signed by the county prosecutor's office.
Oh, yeah, she violated
it. She violated it. And they know she violated it, but they didn't arrest her. And they know she went in and took my stuff, including prescription medication and some satellite receivers that I was leasing.
Okay.
And she pretty much, they went and talked to her. She says, oh, yeah, I got them. I just didn't want him to have them. And she was allowed to take them back to the sheriff's office and drop them off with no charges.
Well, listen, that's theft of your property. But when you violate a protection order, you're going to go to jail. You need to
right.
be able to bring all this to the judge at your hearing on Tuesday to show a previous protection order was issued in your favor. Then
right.
she has no possessory interest in the property. She took
right.
that. And then you need to get to the and we can probably talk to you off the air about how to get into the appropriate authority. So something happens if you're being hometowned by the police.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
it's
I'm not even allowed to. I haven't been able to go back to my own home in almost 10 days. I didn't do anything to her.
Why not? Why are you not able to go back to your own home? She's
because,
not there.
Because she did that restraining order, which.
Oh, she used your place as the address where you can't go back?
She used my address, even though she wasn't staying there anymore. She used my address. So, like I said, when the sheriff came out to investigate my break-in and her taking my stuff, he didn't even do an investigation. The only reason that he even showed up there was to give me a restraining order and say, get out.
There are some problems here. And, you know, the sheriff is carrying out the judge's order, but she's lied to the judge. And you're going to have to get some stuff done. Do you have a lawyer in that town or where you're at?
I talked with the lawyer, and he said to me that.
Ken, let's talk to you off the air. Can you hold and give us your number so we can give you a call on Monday off the air? Are you going to be around on
sure.
Monday? Okay,
sure.
Let's do that. Talk to you. You're listening to the Bell and Polk Legal Show. You can call us at 303-713-8255. That's 303-713-8255. Or call us in Steamboat at 970-457-1009. We'll be right back.
Seems like yesterday.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Our law firm is Bell and Pollock. We have offices in Greenwood Village, Denver, Steamboat Springs. I'm coming to you right now live from Steamboat Springs. Brad's got anchoring the Denver studio. You know, Brad, and so I want to talk a little bit more about these our series that we got going on, the ABCs of how insurance companies beat your claim and defeat your claim. And why don't you cover, you're really good at this, why don't you cover you know, the insurance coverage is before there even is an accident, they're trying to work on your insurance coverages, and some are more successful and some are less successful. But let's talk about the stacking, Brad, and let's talk about the issues. If you've got a car and you think you have multiple policies, but you really, really don't.
Well, I'm going to tell you, the more you get into the stacking issue, and a lot of people are out there wondering what that is, the more difficult it is to understand what different insurance companies do. You sit down and you talk at times to adjusters, the people who deal with determining what amount you're allowed to be paid or what amount of coverage you have. That's their first question. It's always what coverage you have. And they'll tell you that they believe that most lay people, they believe all lay people don't understand stacking, don't even know what it is. And they believe that most personal injury lawyers don't understand it. Most personal injury lawyers have no real concept of what it's about, when it applies and what it doesn't apply. And the problem that is there is this is something you need to know about before the accident. And this is something you need to have your agent be able to know about before the accident. And I dare say most agents, I don't think, understand the stacking rules either, and they don't understand the stacking issues that you have to deal with. The first thing is reading your policy and understanding your policy. And that goes back to that commercial where they talk about reading your policy and it says blah, 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 blah. And that's it. I mean, you know, the people don't understand it. People don't read the policies. There's case law in Colorado that says you're charged with the responsibility to read it and you're responsible for what it says. So when you start talking about stacking, the first thing is you got to be able to find what it means. Now, stacking is a form or an issue by which if you have multiple cars or multiple policies or multiple insureds in your household, you may have coverage that can be added together for the uninsured and underinsured motorist portion of your claim. But you've got to be able to read the policy and understand the policy and get some really good information concerning it.
You know, you can call us anytime and ask us a question on this, but let's use a numerical example so it brings it home. Let's say you bought uninsured motorist coverage, high as limits as you can, but let's say you bought them for $250,000 and you have four cars or you have four people living in your house. And you think it's $250,000 per car. You think it's each time an accident happened that's a different amount. Or you think you can add your cover $250,000 per car. Sometimes under the policies that are issued, you're covered $250,000 total for all cars. Doesn't matter if you have 100 cars, 100 vehicles, 2 vehicles, 6 vehicles. And that's what you have to pay attention to. Insurance policies are difficult to read. And so you can home in on a couple of areas. One is the coverage area. What does it cover? If you have questions, you send emails. You put it in writing. Two, the second important policy are the exclusions. Is something excluded? You know, there's another commercial. You know, I'm not covered for my air conditioner. No, but you're covered for an earthquake in Venezuela. You need to read the exclusions. What is excluded? What specifically is excluded? It says it in bold print, but most of the time, exclusions. We don't cover the following, A, B, C. Very important that you understand the insurance coverages. But our show, Back to the Basics of the ABCs, if our insurance companies try to beat you, they try to beat you before the accident even happens. They try to beat you on the scene of the accident. And then my very favorite is when you call them, the insurance adjuster, Brad, and they say, the adjuster says, well, I need to take your statement. We cover this in our show. Let's talk about it a little right now, but I need to take your statement. And I can't adjust your claim unless you give me the medical information and your statements. I'm sorry. Well, what do people do?
I think a lot of times, and remember this, personal injury lawyers, we do it. It's what we do. It's the area that we really have the most attention to, and we can do your personal injury cases. We've been doing them for 35, 40 years each. We have a number of lawyers in our office. There's no reason if you have a question, you can't contact us. Personal injury lawyers work on contingency fees. That most personal injury lawyers have a free initial conference, so you can sit down and talk to them and figure out what's going on. And get a lot of information from as far as what's happening. Get it. Because when they start wanting to take your statement, for instance, and you want to find out what the adjuster is all about, I've told many times, just have the people ask the adjuster, well, did you take a statement from your own insured? And if they say yes, say, what'd they tell you? If they say no, say, why are you having me give a statement first and you haven't talked to your own insured? And I want to know what your insured is saying. If they admitted they're responsible, you'll find a lot of times the insured will call up and say, yeah, I'm responsible. I caused the accident. It's my fault. And the adjuster talks them out of it, or then it calls you up to try and find a way to get you to say you did something wrong and cause you to be in a situation where you're going to have your claim diminished simply by tricking you, not by it being a what I would call an honest interview about what happened.
Well, you know, and they also say, I can't adjust your claim. I can't help you. I can't help you unless you give me a statement and sign our, quote, few forms. We're going to send you a few forms. And the few forms are deadly. You sign, you release your medical records to them and every insurance database in America under the ISO. You don't want to do that. You want to make sure you're protected. We have a whole show on our website, just championsofthepeople.com, on what you need to know and do and say on the first phone call to the adjuster, the first contact. Exactly. But if there's any confusion, you can call us at our office anytime. Because, listen, they're highly trained. We say if you're in an accident, if you're injured in an accident, this is no ordinary day or event for you. But it is an ordinary day and event for the insurance company. They know what they're doing. They've got their script in front of them. They've been trained, and they know how to approach this. Do you?
Well, there.
And so that's what we're doing on our ABC series, Back to the Basics.
That's exactly right. And you when you get involved in this kind of stuff, you want to make sure that you have experts on your side as much as they have on their side. And you want to make sure you have access to those. You know, insurance adjusters, once again, will readily admit when you depose them or when you've got them under oath that they have access to lawyers. Even if they're not down the hallway in the same building, they can pick up the phone and call them. These lawyers are available, and it there's nothing wrong with it. It's appropriate they have access to the lawyers. The thing is, you got to make sure they have access. You have access to lawyers too. Gary, we're down the last 15 seconds. I didn't want to forget, have people forget about the Barry and Larry show that comes on after this, the real estate show. It's a pretty good show, don't you think?
I do. They're very professional, very experienced, and so I'd listen to them as well.
It's a real good show, as a matter of fact, so make sure you stick around and listen to the show and listen to their show. They're coming on right after us. Gary, you want to take it out?
Yeah, sure. You know, go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. You know, we got all of our books there. We got more books coming out. They're all to give you information. Information is important. It's empowering. And that's what we do for you. Championsofthepeople.com, because we are your champions of the people.